Hello, friends. We're here with Stories and Stuff from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I'm your storyteller, Joy Bubbles. And I think one of the reasons I'm able to find joy so often is that I've learned to be able to cry when I need to. 40 years ago, back in 1967, maybe around this time of year, I met a friend on ham radio for the first time, Mike Ravis. And at that time he was in Chicago, and we were talking on the phone quite a bit after that, years and years and years. Just a couple hours ago, I got a call from a friend in New Orleans that told me my friend Mike Ravis had died of pancreatic cancer, and he was wanting to be strong and didn't want his friends to know. I was told he was kind of even denying it to himself. And it's pretty scary. On May 12th, I go and give a talk about my near-death experience back in 1961. But this time, just a couple hours ago, death came a whole lot nearer than I wanted it to. So, goodbye, Mike Ravis. Hello, Mike Ravis. I'm sure we'll meet again in a totally different way. And I hope that's kind of a long time from now. I love being here, but there'll be a time when that's not a near death. Well, I used to live near Memphis, Tennessee. And one of the things I would do is stay at a hotel every few weeks. Whenever I'd save up for a while, and then I would go down and stay for the weekend down to Memphis. There was one special reason besides the telephone systems that I like to study. One special reason I love to stay at hotels: the swimming pools, because they have the water in there. Well, it's just about my favorite smell, the chlorine water. I like to say it stinks so wonderfully. Well, I was planning to go, I said, to the Quality Inn down in Memphis, the Quality Inn by the river. And I said, I think I just got one more week to go, one more paycheck, and then I'll have enough money, I think, to go for the weekend. But I heard almost like this nagging voice, this feeling or something. No, I got to go this weekend. The budget will work out all right. And I thought, well, I might need it a little more if I eat a little more or something, but I should wait one more week. But I don't know. I just, almost before I knew what I was doing, I called them up and made reservations for the weekend out at the Quality Inn by the river. And what I didn't know was somebody would be watching me. That's what happens when you're blind. You don't always know when you're being watched. Well, I got down to the hotel. They gave me my room number. I had been there so much I knew my way around. Within 5 minutes, I wasn't only in my room, but I was back out of my room in my swimsuit and down in the pool. I was so happy to be there a week early. And I just, wanting to get all wet. So not only was I in the pool, but I decided to get even wetter by splashing myself. And I was jumping up and down, splashing, and I said, oh, I'm getting all wet. And one of the kids in the pool thought, well, he better tell me. The reason you're getting wet is because you're splashing yourself, mister. Oh, is that so? Well, you know, I just love to be splashed, I told him. And well, we could splash you, another little kid said. Well, I don't know. Maybe you don't know how to splash, or maybe you've completely forgotten how. And so one of them said, you asked for it, mister. And all three of the kids started splashing me. One clapped her hands, and the water went way, way up and came down almost like in a shower in drops. So I told her that was chlorine, like chlorine and rain. And another one just had this big scoop splash and scooped water at me, I think with both hands or something. And another one was around and around and around me to make sure I got splashed from every direction. And I told the kids how much I love the chlorine. And I said, everybody that goes in the chlorine pool, this is what I say. And I run over my, was named Melissa. I said, Melissa, you stink so wonderfully. Well, the other kids had to have me tell them individually, too, you know, each of their names. You stink so wonderfully with their name at the beginning. They didn't want to be left out. And then they were climbing on me. And I said, I'm going to make you fall off. And I'd lean one way and the other and rock and spin around. And, you know, they were such good hangers-oners. They all stayed on. Not one of them fell off me. It's nice the way water makes us all light, and they were easy to carry on me, and, you know, they didn't fall off. They just held on to my neck. And then they went up and got a ball, a great big old, like a heavy rubber ball, heavier than a beach ball. And I tried to sit on it. I almost did for a second or so, and I would fall off, and, you know, and the mother was there with the kid's mother, and she was saying, it's sure nice to watch you all have so much fun and everything. We actually stayed in there from the late afternoon till right when the pool closed at 11. It opened at 6. I came down at 6, and they said, where have you been? We've been waiting for you. Well, that's when the pool opened, but it turned out the kids were very eager. They were down there way earlier than that, and the man that was maintaining the pool kind of let them in early. But the mother says, well, honey, he has to sleep sometime, you know. Actually, I wasn't sleeping very much because at night when the pool was closed, I would do tests on the telephone system, learning about how the circuitry and the system worked and all kinds of interesting stuff. So the phone at night, the pool in the day. And I would take this big, long break and eat once a day, this wonderfully big meal. And the mother said I was having so much fun with her kids that she said, you know, you call me when you're going to go eat, and I'll put it on the bill. Well, I didn't want to do that, you know. I was too bashful. I didn't want to bother her with that and everything. But, you know, she came down and caught me eating, and she said, I'm going to fix it. So you won't be able to duck out like that. So she set it up so anything I ate for the weekend while I was staying would automatically go on her room bill instead of mine. Hey, it worked out. The budget was going to be just right, you know, real good, even though I did come a week early. And they had really nice seafood and stuff there. It was the Quality Inn by the river, if you ever were there in Memphis years ago. But another thing they had is a long, long glass-enclosed hall, and it also enclosed the pool. And you could stand there outside that in the hall and look through the glass and see right down into the pool really, really good. I didn't know that someone was watching me until that Sunday, the last day I was there, when I had to say goodbye to the kids and go back to get ready for work on Monday at a little place called Millington Telephone Company, where I used to go. And on that last day, I was kind of lying on the lounge chair, and the lady came in and started crying and said, oh, I'm so glad I caught you before you left. I wanted to thank you. You saved my life. And she wasn't even the kid's mother. And I said, oh, well, when did I do that? It just, well, you know, I was watching you through the glass, and I've never seen anybody at all enjoy a pool the way you do. And I said, well, I love the chlorine water. It stinks so wonderfully. And she said, I watched you playing with those kids, and the way you were falling off that big ball, and those kids were jumping and climbing over you and stuff, and I don't know. Something broke within me. And, well, I'll tell you why I was here, she said. I came, you know, my husband died, and everything has been going wrong. I've been very depressed. And I came here and decided this was the time I was going to take my life. I had plenty of pills, and I was going to kind of stay the weekend and kill myself here because I just didn't feel I could make it. And watching you without your eyes and everything, actually I do have my eyes, I just can't see with them. Watching you, you know, I enjoy yourself so much. Something just broke within me, and I started crying and crying. And she said, you know, if he can make it, so can I. I'm going to work through this thing. And so she called her best friend and threw the pills away, and the best friend came, and they went to Baptist Hospital and for some counseling and signed a contract with them to, she was going to stay with that best friend and take counseling, I think, just about every day while she kind of worked on getting herself back together and stuff. And she said, my name is Ruth. And I said, well, you know, I wasn't supposed to be here, too. I was going to be here next week. But I just came a week early. I just had this feeling, you know. And she said, I'm awfully glad you did. I said, well, later, when she wished me a happy birthday, a few months later, I said, you know, I'm glad you didn't do that at the hotel. Because if you had, it would have been a ruthless world. Isn't it an awful pun? I think she thought it was awful, too. But you never know who's watching you. And isn't play a wonderful thing? Playing is wonderful to do, but it's also fun even to just watch somebody play. So that's something you could do as the weather is nicer and nicer. Go and just kind of sit around watching some kids play and just feel the joy. Find some joyful players and just kind of let them be your teachers. Play is a powerful, powerful thing. Well, stay strong and take care of each other. Take care of yourself, too. And I want to remember to remember that my friends are precious. They don't stay around forever. Even ones like Mike Ravis, who I've known for 40 years. It's so lucky that I'm alive. You never know what day will be your last. And next time there'll be another story. You take care and wish me luck on my talk about near-death studies and my near-death experience in 1961. Maybe in sometime I'll put that on too, on the stories and stuff. I've had it once in my 13 years of doing it. So bye for now. See you next week.